Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 13, Dhritarashtra quits home, text 19. Pratikriya,
Pratikriya,
Na,
Na,
Yasyeha,
Yasyeha,
Kutaschet,
Kutaschet,
Karhichet,
Karhichet,
Prabho,
Prabho,
Sa,
Sa,
Esha,
Esha,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
Kala,
Kala,
Sarvesha,
Sarvesha,
Na,
Na,
Samagata,
Samagata,
Pratikriya Nayasyeha,
Pratikriya Nayasyeha,
Kutaschit Karhichit Prabho,
Kutaschit Karhichit Prabho,
Saesha Bhagavan Kala,
Saesha Bhagavan Kala,
Sarvesham Nasamagata,
Sarvesham Nasamagata,
Pratikriya Nayasyeha, Utaschit Karhichit Prabho,
Utaschit Karhichit Prabho,
Saesha Bhagavan Kala,
Saesha Bhagavan Kala,
Sarvesham Nasamhagata,
Sarvesham Nasamhagata,
Pratikriya Nayasyeha,
Pratikriya Nayasyeha,
Utaschit Karhichit Prabho,
Karhichit Prabho,
Saesha Bhagavan Kala,
Saesha Bhagavan Kala,
Sarvesham Nasamhagata,
Sarvesham Nasamhagata,
Remedial Nisha,
Remedial Nisha,
Na,
Na,
there is none,
Yasya,
of which,
Iha,
in this material world,
Kutaschit,
by any means, Karhichet,
or by anyone,
Prabho,
O my Lord,
Sa,
that,
Esha,
positively,
Bhagavan,
the personality of Godhead,
Kala,
eternal time,
Sarvesha,
of all,
Na,
of us,
Samagata,
arrived.
Translation: this frightful situation cannot be remedied by any person in this material world. My Lord, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as eternal time, Kala, that has approached us all. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There is no superior power which can check the cruel hands of death. No one wants to die, however acute the source of bodily sufferings may be. Even in the days of so-called scientific advancement of knowledge, there is no remedial measure either for old age or for death. Old age is the notice of the arrival of death, served by cruel time. And no one can refuse to accept either summon calls or the supreme judgment of eternal time. This is explained before Dhritarashtra because he might ask Vidura to find out some remedial measure for the imminent fearful situation, as he had ordered many times before. Before ordering, however, Vidura informed Dhritarashtra that there was no remedial measure by anyone or from any source in this material world. And because there is no such thing in the material world, death is identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as it is said by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita 10:34. Death cannot be checked by anyone or from any source within this material world. Hiranyakashipu wanted to be immortal and underwent a severe type of penance by which the whole universe trembled. And Brahma himself approached him to dissuade Hiranyakashipu from such a severe type of penance. Hiranyakashipu asked Brahma to award him the blessings of immortality. But Brahma said that he himself was subject to death, even in the topmost planet. So how could he award him the benediction of immortality? So there is death even in the topmost planet of this universe, and what to speak of other planets which are far, far inferior in quality to Brahmaloka, the residing planet of Brahma. Wherever there's the influence of eternal time, there is the set of tribulations, namely birth, death, old age, and birth, disease, old age, and death, and all of them are invincible. Pratikriyana yasyeha kudaschit karhichit prabho saisha bhagavan kala sarvesham na samagata. This frightful situation cannot be remedied by any person in this material world. My Lord, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as eternal time, kala, that has approached us all. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutane Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachyade Shatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpaturibhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So Vidura is just beginning his actual preaching to Dhritarashtra. And already we can see, for example, from the previous verse, how strongly he's preaching, and he's going to preach extremely strongly, to really shatter the misconceptions of Dhritarashtra and just cut right through them, right down to the essence, the very truth of the situation, in such a vivid way that Dhritarashtra not only will have no choice but to accept the situation, but that Vidura will just see it as a reality. It's one thing to be forced into accepting something despite deeper within one's heart one would prefer not to, but just one's obliged to. But in this case, his preaching will be so strong that Dhritarashtra will not only reluctantly accept, all right then, if you insist, something like that, but he will embrace it. He will embrace that message of Vidura. And anyway, we'll see as the discussion goes on how he reacts, but basically this is his mood. He completely embraces and acts strongly. This is the nature of transcendental knowledge. When transcendental knowledge is presented, particularly when it's presented very nicely, from a source which is transcendental, like the knowledge, as for example here in the books of Srila Prabhupada, completely transcendental personality, then such transcendental knowledge has that potency to cut through the maya, the illusions of practically anyone, and even sometimes people who one would not expect it to be able to do that to, or one would not expect that those people could get that message. But this transcendental knowledge, when it comes from such a source, it can actually, it's so powerful, it can change the world and change all the people in the world. So Vidura is saying here, Sarvesham na samagata, that this eternal time, Saisha Bhagavan Kala, Sarvesham na samagata, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of time has approached us all. It has arrived. Samagata is translated in the word for word as arrived. So the Supreme Lord in the form of time has arrived right there in the forefront of all of us, not just you, Dhritarashtra, but actually all of us. But under these circumstances, particularly you, Dhritarashtra, should really take note of this and react, as he said in the immediate previous verse, which was the first verse in which he just starts delivering his actual message. My dear king, and of course he's using the word king in a, you know, quote-unquote way, because Dhritarashtra for quite some time has definitely not been the king at all. But he's just been living in this little bubble of illusion that he's the king. So he's referring to him, my dear king. Please get out of here immediately. Right now. No niceties, no fond farewells, no farewell dinner with speeches, gifts, no gold watch for years of service, no letter of thanks. Don't wait. Just get out immediately. Do not delay. Do not delay. Just see how fear has overtaken you. Because ultimately, time is like that. Time is so powerful. As we mentioned, I think the other day, Srila Prabhupada said that the devotees should live every day as if it is going to be their last. Because one day it will be. And so, might as well be ready. Not just might as well, but you have to be ready. Otherwise, you may wake up too late when it is that day, and you may not be sufficiently ready, and as a result of that, who knows what may happen? It could be an unfortunate situation. So live every day as if it's your last. And as we mentioned the other day, that doesn't mean that we should become depressive and downhearted, that, oh no, it's all, everything's lost. But actually, it means we should be completely fixed in Krishna consciousness, which means we'll be fully blissful, very happy in service to the Lord, in glorifying the Lord, in the association of the devotees, just embracing all these things wholeheartedly, and then death comes and one just goes on into some further joyous situation. That's what Srila Prabhupada was meaning. So here Vidura is sort of preempting Dhritarashtra. He has some sort of expectation. There's at least some possibility which he's aware of, that Dhritarashtra, when he hears that, look, your time is coming, you should do something now. Vidura's aware that from past experience that Dhritarashtra may say, oh well, death is coming, so call a doctor. Do something. Put me in ICU. Or as some people have done, apparently, I have some incurable disease. Death is coming. Freeze me. Put me in suspended animation. So I'm still technically alive, although not active at all. And then, after some years, when they have discovered the cure for whatever condition I have, wake me up, defrost me, and just cure me, and away we go. Or as we mentioned the other day, Srila Prabhupada mentioned an experience he had on a train one time in India. Some wealthy businessman had a heart attack on the train, and he begged, just give me another 4 years so I can complete my plans. I'll give you whatever you like. As if such things are just endlessly negotiable. You can just go on forever just with some sort of patchwork solution to get through, and then the next time get through somehow, and just keep on somehow just working things out. But predicting or preempting the possibility that Dhritarashtra might come up with such a request, Vidura says that this frightful situation of time, of your immediately impending death, cannot be remedied by kutaschit, by any means, or karhichit, by anyone. Yeah. It's just no way of addressing it. Because apparently Dhritarashtra in the past, there had been some situations in which danger had been there, but he asked Vidura for advice. Vidura had advised him, and somehow they dealt with that situation, although it could have been very dangerous. So please, Vidura is saying, please don't do it again. Don't even bother trying. It's too late. Karhichit, kutaschit, karhichit. Iha, kutaschit, karhichit, Prabhu. My dear Lord, there's just no way. So, in other words, prepare in a very focused way, prepare for the inevitable and be ready for the inevitable and take positive action, irrevocable action for accepting that situation in the best way possible, the way recommended, ideally in pure Krishna consciousness, but at least having completely renounced your attachments to this world and having focused your mind on the transcendental platform. Yes. Yes, so there's no superior power which can check the cruel hands of death, Prabhupada says, to begin the purport. I remember hearing one class of Srila Prabhupada's many, many years ago, when Prabhupada was still present. And in that class, Srila Prabhupada was talking about Mahatma Gandhi. That Mahatma Gandhi was such a big person, famous throughout India, of course, totally famous, and even throughout the world. He was extremely famous. Extremely famous. And extremely influential. He, at least on one or maybe more than one occasion, he went on hunger strikes because the government was threatening to take some action against someone who he, Gandhi, was sort of favorably inclined towards, sometimes Muslims actually. And so he would go on a hunger strike, that if you insist on treating these people in this way, I'm just going to starve myself to death, and you can be responsible for it. And on at least one occasion, perhaps more, when he did that, then the government, they agreed, all right. And they stopped doing whatever it was they were doing or threatening to do to those other people. So in his way, Gandhi was extremely powerful. You know, he didn't, at least in that situation or those situations, he didn't force the government to do what he wanted by force of arms, some sort of violent insurrection, but he just went on a hunger strike. He didn't actually do anything. He didn't even eat. And they bowed to him, at least then. So anyway, extremely powerful person. Wherever he would come, so many people would gather and just glorify him. But anyway, Srila Prabhupada in that class, Srila Prabhupada was talking about Gandhi and death. And Srila Prabhupada made the point that when his time came, when Gandhi's time came, Prabhupada said, death simply picked him up and threw him away. That's all. Very unceremoniously. He could not say, listen, death, I am Mahatma Gandhi, and you know, you should offer me your pranams and go find the next person and leave me alone. When his time came, death simply picked him up and threw him away. And it just didn't matter. It just didn't matter that he was Gandhi, that he was famous, influential, and so on like that. So yes, the Yamadutas, you cannot really bribe them, force them. When they come for you, then that's basically that. They take you. So in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada, of course, gives the most classic example was Hiranyakashipu himself, who he even got to negotiate with Lord Brahma personally in regard to the matter of living or dying, in the regard to the matter of death, that he performed such extremely severe austerities. Fire was coming from his head and heating the universe. Talk about global warming. It was It was universal warming. It was extremely severe and extremely dangerous, not just for one planet, but for the whole universe. And who knows what might have happened? There might have been a very, very serious situation on a universal scale. So in order to pacify him and stop him, Lord Brahma himself personally came. Practically the supreme being within the universe came to negotiate with him. Can we make a settlement? What would you accept in order to stop this? And Hiranyakashipu, of course, said, give me immortality. And Lord Brahma told him that I don't even have immortality, so how can I give you something I don't have? So then Hiranyakashipu, being a creative thinker, he then tried to think of every way he could possibly imagine that he or anyone might die, any place they might die, any circumstances under which they might die, any time of the day they might die, by any particular means they might die. And he got Lord Brahma to agree one by one with all of these. And he thought, I have covered every possibility. So, therefore, I am now immortal. As he says, death, close your portals. I, Hiranyakashipu, am immortal. Close your portals means you got to close all the doors. There's no way. No way. Yes, so unfortunately though, because Hiranyakashipu was a conditioned soul, and conditioned souls are subject to ignorance and making mistakes, having imperfect senses, like this, and what to speak of the cheating propensity, he missed out a couple of possibilities, important possibilities for how he might die. Of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not necessarily subject to such rulings like what Brahma had said. The Lord is independent. If he wants, he can just overlook anything said by practically anyone. But still, he didn't even really do that. Hiranyakashipu had said that, give me the benediction that I will not die inside or outside. He didn't think of in the doorway, which is neither inside nor outside, and not to be killed by any weapon. He had not thought of the nails of the Lord, not during the day, not at night. He had not thought of in the twilight time, when it's not day and it's not night, and some other possibilities he hadn't thought of. And he certainly hadn't thought of being killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Although he said, not by any man, and not by any beast, not by any demigod, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he didn't think of that. So, even though the Lord is independent, and if he had wanted to, he could have just overlooked Brahma's benedictions, but he didn't. And he still killed Hiranyakashipu in a very dramatic and drastic way, while still preserving the benedictions that Lord Brahma had given. Just see the expertise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, within this material world then, death, because death is such a thing, means the passage of time, that particular manifestation of the passage of time is so powerful that it cannot be dealt with by any means, any material means. It just cannot be dealt with by any material means. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says here, death is considered to be identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Krishna acknowledges this in Bhagavad Gita 10:34. Mrityu sarva haras chaham. I am all devouring death. And as we mentioned the other day, in the following chapter, 11, Krishna says, kalosmi lokakshaya krit pravritta, that I am time and my mission is to destroy everyone. And Srila Prabhupada, in a sort of tongue-in-cheek way, would say sometimes, but it's also in a sense not so tongue-in-cheek, Prabhupada would say that the atheists, they will not bow down before God if they come to the temple or some religious place. They will not bow down because they feel this, there's nothing to bow down to. They're atheists. So why bother going through some foolish motions like that? But Prabhupada would say, when death comes, Krishna, in the form of death, mrityu sarva haras cha aham, when Krishna comes in the form of death, then they immediately offer full dandavats on the ground. And such humble dandavats, you could say, they don't get up again. I remember being in Prabhupada's presence, and Prabhupada came walking in. We offered our obeisances, and Prabhupada stopped in front of us and was talking to some others. And another devotee, well, a few devotees and I, of course, we offered our obeisances as Prabhupada was approaching, but then Prabhupada stopped and we didn't know what to do. Should we get up or stay down? So we took the conservative approach. We continued offering, bowing down until he'd moved, even though it was, I don't know if it was as much as a minute, but it was probably 20 or 30 seconds, something like that. So if in doubt, stay down. Yes. If in doubt, be humble. Maintain the humble position. Yes, so Vidura, of course, he said, Sarvesham na Seisha Bhagavan Kala Sarvesham na Samagata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has come before us in the form of time. Sarvesham, of all of us. Sarvesham na. He doesn't say, has come in front of you, although that's the particular point. But in a broader sense, of course, Sarvesham na, all of us. He's come in front of all of us. So everyone has to take note, and no one can just say, see, Dhritarashtra's getting the sauce. He's a nonsense. And, you know, he deserves it. Actually, it applies to everyone. It applies to everyone completely. It was more a more obvious, immediate concern for Dhritarashtra himself. So we should all be very mindful like that. Time is passing. Death is coming. You definitely don't know when it's going to be. You know, you could look at your lifeline if you're able to read your palm, and you might say, well, it looks like, you know, I'm going to live for some relatively longer period of time. But there have been many cases where people with long lifelines died well before the lifeline was apparently saying. So who knows? So be ready and don't become too attached to making very comfortable, nice situation and equipping myself with all wonderful things for doing this and doing that. Prabhupada told the story of one yogi. The yogi had a benediction. He was a very hairy yogi. Had long hair, and he had hair all over his body. And he had a benediction. He would live for as long as he had hairs on his body until the last hair fell out. And only one hair would fall out every day of Brahma. Whew, that's a long time. So he had some followers or disciples, people like that. And they said to him one day, they said, you know, well, and he would just sit under a tree. That was it. He had no abode, really. He would just sit under a tree. And that was his situation 24 hours a day. So his followers came to him one day and said, dear yogi, you're just sitting in this situation, and whether it's hot or cold or raining or sunny or whatever, it's not right. We want to provide you with a nice, at least a nice hut to shelter you. And Prabhupada explains, the yogi said, he thought about it, and he said, no, it's okay, I don't need it. I'm only here temporarily. And what to speak of ourselves. The power of time is so amazing that before you know it, your youth is gone, and you're in middle age, and things are noticeably breaking down. And then before you know it, you're in old age, and it's a struggle. What to speak of a few things breaking down? It's a struggle just to keep the show on the road. It's a struggle. And after a while, it becomes so much of a struggle that the person's incapacitated, as Prabhupada says here. Old age is the notice of the arrival of death. In the fourth canto in the story of Paranjan, it's explained how Paranjan, time handed Paranjan over to, I think, his sister, who was old age. Here, meet my sister. She's very nice. Spend some time with her. So Paranjan was now with the sister, with old age. And after a while, old age said, you know, I have a very interesting brother. His name is Death. I think I should introduce you to him. So Prabhupada speaks in similar terms here. Old age is the notice of the arrival of death. Or, when you receive a summons to appear in court, some judgment is going to be taken, then you have to go. If you don't go, it doesn't mean that the judgment will not be taken. You have to go. So whether it's just the summons or if it's the actual judgment, it doesn't make a very big difference, because the summons is just a very specific announcement that the judgment is coming. Yes. So this is time. And all of us, even you youngsters, sure, I remember being young. I remember being 45 and thinking, hey, life is good. I remember actually being 26 and noticing, wow, I'm not quite as strong as I used to be. Yeah. Because from that point, like 26, 27, then the deterioration starts. Everything builds up, builds up. 21, you know, you're very strong, but you get stronger. So you see sportsmen, they're at their peak, 25, 26. But then when 30 comes, these vigorous sports, they're all retiring or retire. Because deterioration starts noticeably around 26, 27, 28, 30. It's definitely started already. And if you're, you know, sort of conscious, and if you're observing carefully how your system is working, then you see actually it's true. Even though you can carry on and you've got some strength for many years after, but deterioration is happening. The summons call has been issued, even at that age. And what to speak of Dhritarashtra, who's in this just hopeless, physically hopeless condition, as we'll hear, his teeth are falling out and other, you know, embarrassing phenomena. Time is announcing itself. Here I am. Recognize me, accept me. So a devotee is a person who can accept that, and rather than just try to find some workaround and some tricky solution to sidestep things, to actually deal with it as it is in pure Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Maharaj, some words of wisdom.
Question. Death is of course inevitable, and it sort of signifies the end of this life, and devotees are having the eternal vision, but then death is also accompanied by a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, and so how can even those who have a sense of eternity, they may still have a lot of fear of death just because of the suffering? So how can one really rise above all this?
Well, okay, a fair question. Of course, you know, a simple answer is just through cultivation of their Krishna consciousness. You know, it's a fact that through cultivation of Krishna consciousness, one sees that one becomes able to sort of tolerate more, oftentimes or generally, than, say, your average person in terms of sickness, anxiety, and challenging situations. Devotees often or generally can meet these things with less disturbance, just in everyday life, than materialistic people. Although, having said that, from what we understand, it's not so common that even for a devotee, like a really advanced devotee, to just, you know, okay, they're very old, the body is very old and really, you know, deteriorated seriously, and it's just, you know, death is just going to happen. It's not so common from what we hear that the devotee is just then just sitting there chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna, and suddenly, boom. But there's a period of some hours at least. Like with Srila Prabhupada, there was a period of some hours where his consciousness became withdrawn and he was not, you know, obviously externally conscious. And with other devotees, we hear that there's, you know, even something which may appear to be like a coma or some sort of condition like that. And therefore, devotees, there's been discussions which I've participated in to some degree, where devotees have raised the question, how can you make sure that you are fixed on Krishna at that actual moment of death, when it seems there's a distinct possibility of going into some other type of condition before the actual passing of the soul occurs? And devotees found quotations from Srila Prabhupada in which Prabhupada makes the point that even if a devotee goes into such conditions, that by the grace of the Lord, he or she is able to internally remember Krishna, and even if not exactly in that very conscious sense, but Krishna helps the devotee and takes the devotee, remembering the many years of service and the sincerity at heart of the devotee. In other words, what was being presented was that the devotees can be, you know, there can be an element of confidence or at least hopefulness, something like that, even though experience shows that it may not be quite that sort of the classic idea that I'm just remembering Krishna and shoo, just like that. Yeah. So we should, it's really a question of cultivating a type of faith. A type of faith in the mercy of Krishna and the potency of Krishna and Krishna's process of devotional service, and making the efforts in one's cultivation of Krishna consciousness and one's practice of Krishna consciousness to be as Krishna conscious as you're sort of capable of being in terms of your own abilities. How does that sound?
Yes. Yes, I like that point about not remembering consciously but Krishna interfering, and that's very significant, because sometimes, you know, I've been in car accidents where it goes so fast,
right,
that it's not easy to even remember anything.
Right.
It's just a flashball, you know. So,
yes.
Okay, if you get thrown out of the body like that, or if you hear about the plane exploding, you know,
right,
what you're going to do, right?
Right?
No remembrance at all.
Yes. Well, that was one of the points that was made in a couple of discussions that I was involved in, that ultimately, you know, we have to try our actual best, but Krishna is there, and if we really have tried our best, Krishna will definitely help. And Prabhupada makes a number of statements about that. in regard to the time of death and difficulty, you know, of the physical, psychological, emotional conditions at the time of death. And as King Shula Shekhar says, Krishna Twadiya Pada Pankaja Panjarantam, etc. Let me die now while I'm still conscious and before I get into that, you know, what can be quite pathetic condition of physical and psychological condition of old age. Let me go now. Thank you, Maharaj. Yes, Sundar Alpura.
I have two questions. The first question is reading that Krishna Padma Puran. So there are two birds sitting on the branch. One is Paramatma and one is his soul. So explain that for Yamaraj to be able to avoid punishment to the sinful entities, he's got the blessing of Paramatma to be able to judge.
Yes.
And also explain that Krishna explained that of punishment I am the lord of death, Yamaraj. So it seems that is some connection between the Yamaraj time, death personification,
sure,
and the Lord himself. So what are the connections and the differences?
Well, the thing is, one thing is, in the sixth canto, there's a discussion, I guess maybe it's around the Ajamil incident, but anyway, it's in the sixth canto. I just checked very recently. Someone was asking, what's so special about Yamaraj? Why is he a Mahajan? And so in the sixth canto, there's a verse, and Prabhupada explains in the purport that Yamaraj, because Yamaraj has such an important duty, such an extremely important duty on behalf of the Lord, that he is empowered by the Supersoul. And he has essentially many of the capabilities of the Supersoul in terms of understanding living beings' positions and being able to administer what they are due to have administered to them. Yeah, so he's empowered practically with the potency of the Supersoul, at least in certain, in those particular respects. Having said that, he's still a living entity. And, you know, we just read, isn't it, in this chapter about how Vidura was Yamaraj, Yamaraj was cursed by Manduka Muni, because at least Manduka Muni felt that Yamaraj had made a mistake. Although it's also explained, you know, it was the will of the Lord because Vidura wanted to preach and he can't really do it as Yamaraj, so the Lord arranged that he appear as Vidura so he could preach and so on. But Yamaraj is a jiva. We hear of Brahma sometimes being the Lord directly. Even we sometimes hear the Lord takes the position of Indra directly. I've not heard of the Lord actually taking the position of Yamaraj directly, not that I've read of, but he's empowered like that. And therefore he has just like inconceivable intelligence and expertise, completely unbelievable, to be keeping track of particularly the humans, all the human species, including the demigods, and to have a system whereby those who are lower than human, they're getting their karma in the right ways. It's just beyond mind-boggling. Have I answered your question? Is that okay? Paramjaya.
You see, there are billions and billions of universes, right? Yeah, million billions of universes, and things like that. But only one is Yamaraj.
No. Every universe, there's a Yamaraj.
Every universe?
Yeah, sure. It's a post. Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. Yeah. It's a standard position in the universal government.
The same
Yamaraj
now is instructing Vidura.
The same Yamaraj. It's the same Yamaraj. I mean, today. Today's Yamaraj is instructing Vidura.
Alright, but this Dhritarashtra is told to go leave this place, to go to the forest.
Right.
But this was a kind of sadhana for yogi types of
profession. Vidura, well, as we'll see over the next so many, well, just several verses actually, Dhritarashtra was not really at the point where he could accept Krishna consciousness. He could accept something spiritual, non-material, transcendental. So he went and into some yogic type of position. We'll read about that, you know, like next week or so. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Hare Bob. Paramji.